you would, to the 33rd chapter of the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 33. I have a very serious message this evening to, I trust, communicate to your hearing, and I pray it will be of some help and blessing and life-changing and eternity-changing for someone here tonight. Isaiah chapter 33, and we'll begin our reading in verse number 13. Hear ye that are far off what I have done, and ye that are near acknowledge my might. The sinners in Zion are afraid. Fearfulness hath surprised the hypocrites. Who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with everlasting burnings? Father in heaven, we're blessed to be here tonight. The music that's just come from the lips of these folk has brought honor and glory to our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Without the shedding of his blood on Calvary, without the sacrifice of his life and the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord, this whole world would be a screaming madhouse tonight. Far worse than it is, we would not be in this building. We would have no hope without the sacrifice that's been made in our behalf. And I pray, Lord, that you would help me in a few moments to convey what's in the depths of my soul and what you've communicated to me. And I ask it in Jesus' name, amen. The question is found there in the 14th verse, who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with everlasting burnings? The prow of the good ship Callisto sailed her way through the azure waters of the Atlantic. On board was the crew of the famed fortune hunter and diver extraordinaire Jacques Cousteau. He had searched the seas for its treasures. He had sounded the depths of the deepest of seas. But he had decided now to discover the magical mystique of the Bermuda Triangle, the deepest spot in the Atlantic Ocean. Over the side of the ship, Calypso went the diving bell. He went deeper than any man had ever gone. And the warning bells sounded. Screamed its alarm. And they raised it slowly. When the hatch was opened, normally he would just leap out. They looked in and he seemed to cower in the back of that bell. Speechless. His eyes were wide with shock. What had happened? Silence. What did you see? Again, silence. Finally, Cousteau collected himself and he said, "It's not what I saw, but it's what I heard." He said, "I heard what sounded like the wailing of tormented souls. Sounded like the sobs and screams of people in most terrible torment." You say, "Brother Green, do you think that he heard the voices of people in hell?" I don't know, but I know this. There is a hell.
You say, how do you know that? Jesus said so. He said in Matthew 5:22 that men were in danger of hell fire. In Matthew 23:33, he said, ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how shall ye escape the damnation of hell? God said in Proverbs 27:20, hell and destruction are never full. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 32:22 that fires burn to the lowest hell. Man's sins require an incarceration in a place called hell. For in Psalms 9:17, it says that the wicked shall be turned into hell. The setting in our text tonight was Hezekiah was king. His land was besieged by Sennacherib and his armies, and he was defeated. He was caused to pay tribute, 30 talents of gold, 300 talents of silver, perhaps hundreds of thousands of dollars today. And Hezekiah paid it, but rather reluctantly. And so Sennacherib comes again to conquer. So Judah tries to hire Egypt to come up and help them in the battle. And I want to say this tonight, just as an aside. God's people don't need the world to do God's work. And so Sennacherib, he laughed. He said, I've already defeated them. General Rabshakeh sends a derisive message. And Hezekiah takes it and he spreads it out before the Lord. And God gives his answer to Isaiah. You can mark it down. I'm not being critical. But God's not going to give the wisdom to pastor this church or run this church or any church. He's going to give his voice to the man of God, the pastor that leads. And so Hezekiah, he goes to Isaiah for some advice. He goes in the middle of the night. And the answer is found in 2 Kings chapter 19, verses 35 through 37. And really, God solves the problem in one night's work. Did he slit the throats of all the enemy? No. Were arrows and spears piercing their body? No. God's judgment comes by fire. Fire. God's judgment on an individual that would reject his son as their savior and receive eternal life will be by fire. An eternal blaze in a horrible darkened world with the screams of the damned and the cries of the lost for eternity. I don't think we hardly ever can grasp the heights, the depths, the length of eternity. Who among us, the question was asked, who in the Bible went to hell? Cain? Cain wanted a religion without blood. The Bible says without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. I thank God for Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 2, in whom we have redemption. Through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, according to his riches, by grace. Hallelujah. Korah wanted a religion without a mediator. He didn't want to go through the channels. And I say to you tonight, there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. The rich young ruler, he wanted a religion without sacrifice. Thank God tonight we have a sacrifice. Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Balaam wanted a religion without the supernatural. Now just say this tonight. If you take the supernatural out of what we have in Christ Jesus, it would be like an empty gourd. It would be like a dry desert. But thank God, the supernatural salvation that God gives us. We have a salvation that'll break the law of gravity. Ahab wanted a religion without separation. Belshazzar wanted a religion without reverence for holy things. The thief on the cross wanted a religion without repentance. Pilate wanted a religion without the truth. The Pharisee in Luke chapter 18, he wanted a religion without the righteousness of God. The righteousness of God by faith is what saves us. You know, you can do without a whole lot of things in life, but you're not going to do without him through all eternity. I'll spend a moment, not only who in the Bible, but who in history. Hitler, Mussolini, Stalin, Lenin, Dillinger, Capone, Charles Manson, Richard Speck, Gacy, Bundy, Hussein, Castro. They'll all be there. And there's some modern day folk that have gone to glory. There's a lot of people, modern day folk, that thought that salvation was procured by being good or donating or being kind or, you know, nice to animals. And friend, that's not going to get you to heaven. You must be born again. I don't know if very many people consider the company they're going to have in hell. Now, some of us live in neighborhoods where, you know, there's somebody that's not a very good neighbor. Or maybe you work with somebody that's not good company. But think about an eternity with rapists and murderers, sodomites, and deviants of all kind. They that are filthy will be filthy still through all eternity. It's almost beyond imagination. More important today, and with some great relevancy, the question is asked in our text, who among us? Who among us in this auditorium this Tuesday night? I was shocked this morning. I got a text from a preacher. I communicated with two young preachers that knew more about it than the preacher that texted me knew. But a friend of mine in California, Saturday, a preacher, good preacher, godly man, a holy man. His wife in her 40s, a daughter 15, and another daughter driving the car. They made a left-hand turn, had a stoplight, and somebody driving 70 miles an hour T-boned that car. And out into eternity went that preacher's wife and his teenage daughter. The daughter driving walked away unscathed. I thought about the horror in her mind without the grace of God that she will feel with her mom and her sister out into eternity. It's comforting to know tonight as a child of God that those two ladies also were Christians. Where will you be when you die? Where will you go when you step out into eternity? Who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell in the caverns of the damned for all eternity? The Bible tells us, the book of the Revelation, chapter 21, and verse number 8, it says, the fearful. You know, I think there are a lot of people, they're afraid of what their friends might think. They're concerned about the censure of the world. They don't want anybody to call them goody two shoes, or they don't want anybody to laugh at them for going to church. They just couldn't take it. I'm going to tell you, it's a whole lot better to take somebody laughing at you in this life than have demons laughing at you throughout eternity. Fearful. The unbelieving. Those that will not believe in the clear promises of God in the Bible. The clear teaching. Simple truth. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you ask, you receive. You trust and obey. There's no other way. The unbelieving, the abominable, the vilest of sinners will be there. You could name the sinners of today. You think about the trash in this world. I was in an airport in Alberta, Canada. The capital of Alberta, Calgary, I guess it was, Calgary. And I didn't get saved till 1970. There was a man there with a bunch of young guys, a guy about my age with a bunch of young guys. And I watched him. And it was one of the guys, maybe the only guy left, that was a member of the quote unquote singing group, Kiss. And I watched that demon-possessed man. I watched how he treated people. I watched how he treated the boys that was in his band. I watched how he treated the women, the dumb women that came up and wanted to have their picture taken with him. The abominable. Murderers. The murder. All murderers will be in hell. You think about homicide and suicide and fratricide. Fratricide is killing family members. But there's not an individual in this world that has not had an indictment against them for deicide. For we put deity on the cross. Yes. Our sins nailed him to the tree. And the only forgiveness we have is through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Whoremongers. Lester Roloff said this decades ago. He said, evolution has taught people that they came from monkeys. And so why should we wonder why they act like animals? Lester Roloff's been dead since 1982. It's got a lot worse since, baby. Whoremongers. We have seen Romans chapter 1 and Romans chapter 2 become a reality in our lifetimes. The godlessness. Sorcerers. Some people believe that's talking about witchcraft. Other people think that's talking about drugs and dope addiction and all of that. I think it could be evidence of both. We live in a horrible day. I believe with all of my heart that the demons of hell seem to have been released on this nation. What we faced and what we're facing and what we will face in the future, God only knows. And you know as well as I do that drugs are, they're like a plague that have come across our land. I was preaching somewhere and my wife was with me and we pulled into the driveway maybe 8, 9 o'clock at night. It probably was a Sunday that I preached somewhere close by. And I looked at my neighbor's driveway. The driveway's no farther than right there at the wall. And I said, honey, I'll get the heavy stuff in and you get the rest in. And I said, I'm gonna go next door and see. And I walked over there next door and the woman of the house, the lady of the house, she's a decade older than I am. She just fell in my arms and wept. I said, Jan, what's the matter? They called her granddaughter's name. So we haven't been able to find her for 5 or 6 days. She called her son's name and said, Matt is his name. He said, we didn't know where we called, talked to friends or her friends. And nobody knew. Nobody seemed to know. He said he decided to start to call the morgues. And 5 days after that girl had gotten some fentanyl in her body, her quote-unquote boyfriend just picked her up and threw her in the trunk and carried her over to a morgue and just dropped her beautiful body and walked away. A few moments later, her mother was there. She came in from the kitchen, saw me. She fell in my arms. I never hugged either one of those girls before, those ladies before, but they just wept on my shoulder. Tragedy! This drug addiction and drug use has swept across our land. Idolaters! We live in a day when people worship everything but God. Their self, their boots, their cars. All liars shall find themselves in the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone. They'll have their part there. Not going to be there for a weekend, buddy. You're not going to be there for a lifetime. You'll be there for eternity. I plucked something out of the newspaper. I've amended it a couple of times. The question was asked as a poll, is there a hell? 58% of adults in America said there may be a hell. There may be a hell. 23% said, yeah, I believe there is a hell. Only 72% of the people that were asked about heaven, only 72% said that they thought there was a heaven. I'm 100% sure there's a heaven, and I'm 100% sure there's a hell. In Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse number 10, it says this. And so I saw the wicked buried who had come and gone from the place of the holy. Amen. I've seen them too. I've seen people come to church, the place of the holy. I've seen them come Sunday after Sunday and year after year. I've seen them come and go. Come lost and leave lost. Hear great preachers and walk away. invitation, opportunities to come and get it settled and come and go from the place of the holy. I'd say to you this evening, if you've come lost, don't go away lost. If you're not saved, don't walk out of here lost. If you're not a Christian, become one tonight. Tonight. I read something, I'm almost done, in Zechariah chapter 7 and verse number 11. This is very descriptive. But they refused to hearken and pulled away their shoulders. No. And the Bible said they stopped their ears. I'm not going to hear it. I'm not going to listen. They refused to hearken, pulled away the shoulder, and stopped their ears that they should not hear. Yea, they made their hearts as an adamant stone, lest they should hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts hath sent in his spirit by the former prophets. Therefore came a great wrath from the Lord of hosts. How long do you think God's going to put up with your rejection of his son, Jesus Christ? Verse 13. Therefore it has come to pass that as he cried, and they would not hear, he cried and cried. God pled and pled and offered. It came to pass that as he cried, and they would not hear, finally, I guess they came to their senses. For it says, so they cried, and I would not hear, saith the Lord of hosts. Year after year, service after service, day after day, he's called. I'm too busy. I got a life to live. I got plans. I'm going to sow some wild oats. I want to experience a little bit of the world. Tired of this whole fogey religion. I want to get out there and live, man, live. Have at her, big boy. He cried, they would not listen. One day they cried, and he would not hear the Lord. I looked it up today on my phone because I couldn't remember. You think about this. It kind of staggered me. I thought the number was a couple of thousand, maybe 1,500 less. But 8,000 people plus die every day in America. 8,000 plus every day that the world goes around. That's just our country of 380 million people. Around the world, it would be tens of thousands who die every day. Step out into eternity. The child of God, saved, figuratively in my mind, they step aboard the old ship of Zion. They sail across the river of life, right up into the throne of God, and rejoice forevermore with our Savior. Amen. And the sinner, the lost sinner. I couldn't imagine how horrible it would be. 1,000 preachers couldn't paint a picture more horrible than it must be. To breathe your last breath here and be encountered by the devils of hell, the flames of hell, the screams of hell, the torments of hell, hell itself, and all of its demented wickedness. Wickedness. Why not tonight, friend? Why not get it settled tonight? Oh, there's another little part. back there at the end of that 33rd chapter, some folk that won't go to hell. Verse 17, verse 16, he shall dwell on high, his place of defense shall be the munitions of rocks, bread shall be given him, his water shall be sure. Thine eyes shall see the king in his beauty. They shall behold the land that is very far off. Thine heart shall meditate terror. Where is the scribe? Where is the receiver? Where is he that counteth the towers? Thou shalt not see a fierce people, a people of a deeper speech than thou canst perceive, of a stammering tongue that thou canst not understand. Thank God we're going to a place, we are going to a land that is far beyond the river. The joys of life will be the child of God. For whatever reason, some years ago, I was asked to come and preach a funeral in Union, Mississippi. It's a friend of mine's mother. Most of you would probably know that friend of mine. He's living in this state now. He's close to an invalid. He's had a heart attack. He's had broke his back. He's in terrible shape. I won't call his name, but most of you would know him. But his mother passed, and he asked me to preach the funeral. So I flew to Jackson, Mississippi, and rented a car and drove a couple miles up to that little town of Union, Mississippi. I went to the funeral home. I didn't know anywhere else to go, and they said, yes, and she's here. And I said, well, it was before telephones. Cell phones. And I tried to call him. I couldn't get a hold of him. And for whatever reason, he finally showed up, and we went and viewed his mother's body, and we went over to the house where we were going to stay. And the pastor of the church, and it gnawed at me whole time. Why isn't her pastor preaching this funeral? Why are they having me? We went over to the preacher's house. We sat down at a wonderful meal. You know, two or three different kinds of meat, five or six different kind of vegetables, cornbread, big biscuits, iced tea, three or four desserts. Just a wonderful meal, just for him and I and the preacher's wife. The preacher wasn't there. And in the course of the conversation, my friend asked about their son that had been killed in an automobile accident. And she began to describe it. She said, we were coming home and the police had the roads all blocked off. We didn't know. The boy was 33 years old, lived with mom and dad still. The road was all blocked off. We had to detour our way around. She said, when we came into the house, we had some groceries and the phone was ringing. My husband set the groceries down. I was still going back and forth getting them. And he didn't come out of the room where the phone was. She said, I was putting things away. I guess he's talking a long time. She went in there, and her husband was holding the phone, just staring at it. She said, honey, what's the matter? It's going, you know, just buzzing like they used to buzz back in the day. He put the phone down. He said, honey, that was our boy in that wreck. And I don't think the person on the other end of the line meant to go into all the gory details that they knew and to tell the dad, and then the dad tell mom the same story. They said that his plane, his car was wrapped in flames. And a couple of neighbors and people had stopped, but they couldn't even get to him because the flames were so hot and so high, and he was in there and they could hear him. Help! Help! I'm burning! I'm in hell! Help! Oh, man, no wonder the man just stared at the phone. For the horror of the whole thing, that boy, though a preacher's kid and a fine preacher man he was, had never been saved. Just because your mother and dad's a Christian, just because your mother Dad might be a preacher. Just because you go to church, that doesn't make you a Christian. Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. That's what it takes. Why not tonight? Why don't tonight you get it settled? Father in heaven,